LocalMakers.com today.
So have you been naughty or nice? Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Anybody open their Christmas presents early? That's kind of a naughty thing to do, isn't it? I've already gotten a couple of Christmas presents. And the people that gave me the Christmas presents forced me to open them. I guess that's not a bad thing, huh? Speaking of Christmas presents, boy, the president has to be feeling a little bit cocky these days. Since two, now maybe three of the things on his wish list are becoming a reality with his lame duck Congress. Who would have thunk it? You know, certainly there's that push, the possibility, because there's more Democrats, but the Republicans are throwing in on this. And it looks like there's enough of the vote count for the Senate to ratify a new arms control treaty with Russia that would cap the nukes for both the Cold War foes. Yeah, I think of, like I said the other day, James Bond movies. That's when the Bond movies weren't so good. No Cold War, not the traditional enemy. Geez, not so good. When Goldfinger was hilarious. Go back and look at the old Bond movies. But I go old school on this anyway. So, in the real world, do we really want to throw in on Russia and the START treaty and on the whole weapons inspection, blah, blah, blah? Well, it's not so much about the weapons inspection, because, you know, we're all over Iran about that. But the Strategic Arms Reduction Treaty, that's what START stands for. Meaning, okay, you show me yours, I'll show you mine, and then we're going to cut them in half. Sounds painful, doesn't it? But the Senate is going to deliver it. I'm sure they will do it. It's a huge comeback for Obamaland. And the reason why is, even though the Dems were slammed to the ground like a rag doll, they have risen up in the last couple of days. The bipartisan tax deal, the vote ending the ban on gays serving the military, and now the START treaty. And now there would be a system for monitoring and verification and blah, 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 if this, in fact, is ratified. I don't, you know, are they going to get the Republicans? I think they are. We had a report from Washington, and it's pretty much almost a done deal. There was a lot of lobbying going on with Obama and his soldiers. His wingers, the guys who have his back, who pushed to postpone even his own Christmas vacation in Hawaii to try to make this happen. And to get some of the big-time Republicans from history and draw them back in and say, okay, look, Republican people, these folks are saying you need to do this to keep us safe, because this could directly affect us. This could directly affect us. Now, what's interesting is Senator Kyle said, and I kind of like the way he said, I'm going to quote him directly. He says, you know, they went into the negotiations, it seems to me, with the attitude with the Russians, just like the guy who goes into the car dealership and says, I'm not leaving here until I buy a car. And he's right. There are some things that don't necessarily make sense in this treaty. And in the negotiations, I guess, and Kyle said this in the negotiations with the president, was bipartisan, to try to make this a bipartisan deal, is that the president committed to updating the nuclear arsenal by spending $85 billion over the next 10 years. In other words, some of it's duds. It's no good. They need to be modernized. That's the correct word to use here, to make sure, in case we got to point them somewhere, they're going to work, right? So the nuclear security program is the only exception in this deal. It allows the government to spend money to update the arsenal at a rate equivalent to $624 million. And I guess there's other fish to fry on the world stage, but I think that in this case, this is a pact that only the United States is going to honor. I guess that's it. I mean, I'll cut through all the clutter. The bottom line, my take on the START treaty, thumbs down, and the reason I say thumbs down is because it's only going to be on the side of the U.S., and God forbid if the U.S. tries to tweak something because some nutball, some terrorist somewhere else does something, and we're talking about our national defense policy and security, then the U.S. is always the bad guy, so we'll be the bad guy again. But you ratified the treaty. So how could you possibly go back on your word? How could you possibly do that? Well, it's non-binding, but it's not going to matter. It'll come out ugly, and that's it. Because, a contract or a deal that's one-sided is not a deal. It's not a good one anyway, unless you're on the other end of the bad deal. So we're on the wrong end of the bad deal. That's the problem. We are on the wrong end of it, right? All right, quickly here at the top, I'm going to say this. How many people do you think there are in the good old USA? How many people? Let's do a head count. Let's see. Infrared glasses. 1, 2, 3, 4. No, he doesn't count. No, he doesn't count. Yeah, they count. 1, 2, 3. Okay, so here's the thing. How accurate are the census numbers? Of course, massive Hispanic residents and other population gains made Texas the number one place to add new seats. In fact, 4 new House seats. Wow, 4 is huge. And that's a big pickup for the Republicans because you got to figure that's going to fall in the GOP's lap. So 4 is big, twice as many as Florida. The only other state to pick up multiple seats, of course, was Florida. And Republican-leaning type states will actually end up with a half a dozen House seats thanks to the 2010 census. Wow. So you think now you got the census along with what happened in the midterms. Whew. The nation's population is definitely a lot slower than in the past decades, but it's still shifting more to the south and to the west. It makes sense because why? Think about it. I got one word for you. It's called jobs. If the jobs are there, that's why the people are flocking to the areas. Quickly, let's go to Rick in Illinois. Rick, you have the floor. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Kate.
Hello.
The reason I'm going south is because of cold.
Yeah, we're sick of the cold. I grew up in the cold, I know. Forget the snow. Let's head in a different direction.
Yeah. I was down in Mississippi last year. I met some people. They from Michigan and Wisconsin.
Yeah, too cold.
They told me they're just sick of the cold all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Down south.
Mm-hmm. So, trading the cold and the snow for the possibility of hurricanes.
Yeah. But anybody went and nailed the score yet?
Nope, just Chris in Connecticut. So we've got another nail the score on Thursday, believe it or not. So,
yeah.
Rick, you better be there. You and I might be the only ones there. We'll be talking a lot of football. Nail the score, it's a good time to promo that. Thanks, buddy. Drive safely.
Okay.
That's coming up on Thursday. Don't forget, Thursday in our third hour, nail the score. Then we're headed off for the holidays after that. Hang with us. More great radio coming your way next.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy-to-use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump-outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed, bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean clean your septic system.
On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit we call the Federal Reserve Note forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Becoming a modern smoker is now easier and more cost-effective, thanks to LeSig. Traditional smokers the world over love LeSig. E-cigarettes with a look, feel, and taste of real cigarettes, but without the nasty smoke, ashes, or stains. LeSig is powered by revolutionary microelectronic technology. A small, rechargeable battery and unique replaceable cartridge provide all the satisfaction and benefits of smoking without the smoke and all the hazards. See the large variety of LeSig e-cigarette supplies and accessories at LeSig.com. That's L-E-C-I-G. LeSig is competitively priced, comes with the best customer service, a 30-day warranty, and satisfaction guaranteed. What a great gift idea. For a 10% discount, mention GCN when you call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Ask for fast, free, same-day shipping. Order online at LeSig.com and use promo code GCN at checkout. That's L-E-C-I-G.com. LeSig, for today's modern smoker.
What happened with the census? What did the census turn up? See, you know, nobody wants to fill out all the nonsense with it. And I agree with one of our longtime callers, Izzy, who said, listen, you just give them the basics. You don't tell them anything about income or any of the other details. But it's important that you give at least the basic information for the census. Why? Because it affects representation. So New York, Ohio, Illinois, Massachusetts, Jersey, and Pennsylvania lost seats. Then there were some states that gained seats. So Republican-leaning states picked up seats in Congress. And so what does that show? One, more people were filling out the census. And, of course, there is a shift in population. But the census showed that there's kind of been a not a stoppage, but a slower moving growth, I guess we'll say, of the population. And of course there is, because less people are having children, and you're not having so many marriages where they have four or five kids or whatever. I think that what you're seeing is maybe even one child per household or two max, and the giant families have shrunk because people can't afford it, and a lot of baby boomers opted out of having children, and I think that's probably partially what you're seeing. But the Republican states, Republican leading, like I called it, are picking up at least half dozen House seats, and that's because of the 2010 census. So the nation's population on April 1st, 308,745,538. That's up from 281.4 million about a decade ago. But if you looked at the growth, because, you know, you're talking 10 years, that's pretty slow. In fact, it's the lowest since the Great Depression. Boy, we keep referring to the Depression all the time, don't we? So the population grew by 13.2% from 1990 to 2000. Michigan was the only state to lose population during the past decade. Nevada, with a 35% increase, was the fastest growing state. And, of course, now we see what it's been like for Nevada, obviously, how hard that state was slammed by the recession. So the numbers are a pickup for the GOP. That's the deal. And the great state of Texas led the way with the most Republican-leaning states, not a surprise, right, that are going to gain House seats. And mostly where the pickups are, the subtraction would have been from the Rust Belt. And, of course, that makes sense because look at all the problems. So where were people fleeing? Where were people moving to? It's obvious. We've talked about that a ton on America Tonight, right? Hey, you can't get a job. You can't find anything. You're picking up stakes. You're moving. You're leaving. And that's what's happened. So you only do the census once a decade, and the nation has to reapportion the House's 435 districts to make them roughly equal in population, with each state getting, of course, at least as we know, one seat. But what happens is, because of the state lines and because of districts, really, it's really the districts, it can be either a boon or I'll call it a bust for either party. And in this case, it was a pickup. Boy, everything is going the way of the Republicans lately, isn't it? The midterms, now this, another big pickup. Like I said, Texas gains four House seats. Florida picks up two, gaining one each. Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, Utah, and Washington. I know we have listeners in those states. And like I said, I mentioned Jersey and Pennsylvania and some of the others losing a House seat. So Florida now has as many House members as New York. You know what that number is? If we could have saved this for a week and count. 27. California has 53, and Texas climbs up to 36. So remember, think back to the election. Think back to Barack Obama and change you can count on. And Obama lost in Texas and most of the other states that are gaining those House seats. So what does that mean for the 2012 elections? It means a better political map. That's what it means. That means if I'm a Republican, and especially if I'm running for something that comes up, and particularly in one of those areas, I'm thinking that that's going to be helpful to me, but maybe helpful to the Republicans still in all, who is the candidate. Where are we as a nation at that time? I mean, we'll be speculating about this for two fat years a little less than 2 years, because that's when, of course, we'll elect whoever the next president is, whether it's Obama part two or it's somebody else. So since 1940, 79 House seats. I find this stuff totally fascinating. That's why I'm giving you all this juice here, all this history. 79 House seats have shifted to the South and the West, mostly from the Northeast and the Midwest. Again, not a surprise. Think of the economics in those areas. Think of people moving. Think of the weather, the warmth, all that stuff. I think that also plays probably a part of that. But that's why, I mean, the census is, who wants to be poked and prodded and asked all those questions in the census? But you just had to fill out the bare minimum and not answer all the other nonsense when they were trying to pry into to the salaries and everything else. Although it's, to be honest, I mean, you're on the radar, right? If you're paying taxes and the IRS has your information, don't you think you're kind of a little bit on the radar? But even with the bare minimum, we can see what some of the changes entail. So the 2010 census results are used basically, besides the political sway of representation, it's also about distributing that money, that $400 billion in federal aid. And that's going to change the Electoral College votes. And that will begin in the 2012 presidential election. Remember, heading into the midterms, I said, it's important that you vote. I hate it when people don't vote because they're apathetic, or they say, who gives a crap? It doesn't matter. My vote doesn't matter. I'm bitter. I hate the people who are running, or whatever the reason. Trust me, there is power in numbers. And we saw that. We saw that in the primaries. We saw it in the midterm elections. People who shouldn't have been there, couldn't have been there, should have never been there, whatever their stories were. Or, hey, they came from nowhere, they won. They were just the upstart that made a couple of good points, and the other guy, I'll say guy, the other guy wasn't doing his job, and enough people were sick of it, so boom, they were booted, basically. And I think in local politics and certainly state politics, we're talking about representation on the Capitol, whether it's Congress or the Senate, one of the two chambers, I really think the votes matter. But when it gets to a presidential election, the Electoral College has so much sway that this will be interesting because some of that sway now goes back in the other direction. So fascinating what's happened with this, like I said, with this last census and ultimately how it plays out. And speaking of politics, let's stick with politics here for a second because that's what we hit you with in the beginning of this hour. Coming up next, we're going to talk about WikiLeaks with Andrew Clavin, screenwriter, author, just very opinionated. Love this guy, and he's got some thoughts on WikiLeaks and where that's going with Julian Assange and what it means as far as, you know, whistleblowers. Remember, there was this legislation, trying to pass legislation so that it'd be easier for a whistleblower to stand up and say, here's what's going on, and not lose their job, which is pretty much now unlikely when you're in a big corporation and you squeal, you know you're going to get squeezed out. Or if you're in the military and you leak classified military documents, there's probably a good chance you're going to get in trouble, which is what we saw with WikiLeaks. You know, I said this before, you can talk about Assange and, hey, the freedom of the press and the information should be out there, and if he gets his hands on it, then bully for him. Why not release him? But he's not the one that gets caught in the web of having to pay the price. It's the person who blew the whistle. Or is it? Because Assange, a lot of people are gunning for him, which is what you saw happen, I believe, a lot of that in England. I mean, was that a lot of trumped-up nonsense from Sweden? Was there any credence to he sexually assaulted some women? Or was it nonsense? You know, the Swedes wanted him back there. And, of course, in the U.S., Eric Holder, the Attorney General, trying to figure out how can we make this guy, how can we nail him to the wall? How can he stick to the wall? Because, let's face it, he's humiliating the State Department, and, of course, the same thing with the military. So we're going to talk about that next with AK. Hang with us here on America Tonight.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
It's inspiring for many who are affected by the recent downturn of the economy.
I already knew a bit about foraging and edibles, but you take it to a whole new level.
A thousand thanks to you for all that great knowledge. It was empowering.
When I was in the Navy, I went through a couple of quick land survival classes.
Thank you for being an inspiration and for all the work that you do.
I really appreciate the depth and detail of the information.
Thank you so much.
Much love and respect to you from all of us here in the boonies.
Thanks again.
Knowledge is power, and that power brings peace.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones, or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
There are five things you must do to have great health. Restore an alkaline pH, restore optimum hormone levels, detoxify your body, eliminate infections, and feed your body optimal nutrition. I've seen people with 70% clogged arteries become 100% clear in 12 months. I've seen people lower high blood pressure. I've seen people alleviate depression and all arthritis pain go away in 2 months or less. These and many other benefits await you when you apply the five steps to great health. One superfood that I recommend you try to improve your health is called One World Whey. This new remarkable whey protein powder is transforming the health of its users. Users report improved energy, mood, gains in muscle, and even improved breathing. It may sound too simple that a protein powder can do so much, but One World Whey is specially processed to give it its unique potency. Call 888 888- 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
All right, welcome back to America Tonight. We're talking a little WikiLeaks here. It's kind of like Where's Waldo, Julian Assange. Boy, we've talked about this man way too much. He's either a hero or a goat. I think there's really no in between. And pretty much that's how our poll is running on ATN. A lot of you feel that it's tremendous what he's done and that you have to have those portals where you can release the information. So why is everybody jumping on his back for some of the stuff that has been released State Department-wise and, of course, militarily? Well, who better to have on this show than one of my favorite, most politically incorrect people I know that has a good voice in Hollywood and has a new book out called Identity Man. He also has Truth of the Matter and always has a really hard-hitting opinion, Andrew Klavan. Andrew, thanks for popping back on ATN.
It's a pleasure, Kay. It's always nice to talk to you.
All right, so just from that perspective, I know we were going to go deeper than that, but with WikiLeaks, do you think Julian Assange is a hero?
No, I think he's a creep.
Very good.
I mean, he's endangered people's lives, but the funny thing about him is he hasn't accomplished anything that he said he was going to accomplish. I mean, he goes through this big routine about how America is governed by conspiracy. He calls it government by conspiracy. But where's the conspiracy? He made this massive dump of secret cables. You would think with that kind of exposure, we would find us in America doing all kinds of terrible things. And in fact, we turned out to be pretty decent. We're out there trying to fight terrorism. You know, we find out that the Chinese are not very nice people. The Arabs are playing a double game. Israel basically has the best idea of what's happening in the Middle East. And Italy is Italian prime minister to chase women, which I think is a requirement for being Italian prime minister. So I don't see what we've learned that we couldn't have learned from reading a decent newspaper like the Wall Street Journal. But, you know, listen, I mean, it's not that he hasn't accomplished anything. It's simply that he hasn't done any of the stuff he said he was going to do. And he's really kind of shown us in a good light rather than the opposite.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you. I mean, I get nailed for this because so many people say, oh, there's a big conspiracy here. Don't you see it, Kate? How can you not see it? Nobody else was reporting the things that he was reporting. And I said, listen, he gets the documents from these patsies, basically, who they're going to get their legs cut off in the first place. It's not Assange, really. He is smart in the sense that he's building himself up to be this amazing character, this guy who possesses the freedom of information and, you know, publish or die, and he has that elusive quality. But I think that's all part of building up his coffers.
Building up his coffers and apparently getting women to go to bed with him, which is apparently his major occupation. You know, I think, you know, there is a difference between a journalist who gets a piece of secret information and sits down and debates the worth of publishing this information versus the damage it might do to the people involved, which is the way journalism used to work. And a guy like this who just gets somebody commits treason, basically, and steals a bunch of government secrets and gives them to him and he dumps them online, you know, it's supposed to be all rebellious and anarchist and brave and all this, but if he were really brave, he would be battling some of the nations that are truly oppressive and truly violent. But he doesn't do that. He doesn't expose the secrets of China or of Russia because they'd kill him. You know, we're likely gonna, you know, smack him on the wrist or something like that. It kind of reminds me of those guys, you know, who desecrate a crucifix and they call it art, and then they swagger around and say what brave artists they are. But if they ever had to do anything that offended Muslims and risk real violence, they wouldn't do it because they haven't got the guts. And I feel the same way about Assange. I mean, it's easy to take on America and call it the devil and call it evil and call it a conspiracy because we don't hurt anybody. You know? we're so nice, you know, we're likely to go after him with like an umbrella and chase him around the room like his maiden aunt, you know. I mean, I think that it's just kind of silly that he's parading himself as some kind of hero when all he's done is expose the fact that, you know, diplomats snipe at each other, which of course we knew.
Yeah, no kidding. Why is it that our culture is so removed from reality, from the truth, Andrew? Why are people sucked into this? Why do the normal everyday Joes and Janes believe this crap, and why are they caught up in the middle of it?
Well, we're a victim of our own success. You know, I think that you country rich and powerful essentially as we are.
We lost him there. We're going to get him back, and then we'll finish up that conversation. But it's, as Andrew was saying, and I agree with that thread, we're a victim of our own success because America doesn't do anything to anybody. So it's easy to plop it up out there and provide the scandal, especially for people who want to take a broad brush and paint America as a conspiracy-ridden, corrupt, and riddled with all kinds of problems. You know, when you're the top dog, let's face it, people are looking to tear you down. We certainly have seen this in other areas, even of our own culture. But, I mean, this is a fact of life. You see it. It's like the hero star football player or baseball player. We have this need to tear people down. Hey, Andrew, we were just talking about, and I picked up on that thread that you were mentioning, that we're a victim of our own success. Explain that a little bit more.
Well, we get spoiled. We forget that sometimes nasty things have to be done in order to maintain things that really matter, namely freedom and security. And then when those things are exposed to us, we all kind of throw up our hands, we throw our aprons over our face and run around in hysteria claiming that America is a bad country. Well, if you live in a bad country, you know, you try going over to China where if you complain about your working conditions, you're thrown in a mental institution. You know, try going to Saudi Arabia where if you pray to Jesus, they whip you. If you think that this is oppressive, you're just talking about. But if you live in a country like this long enough, with the things that we have and the wealth that we have, still have, you start to feel that it all is kind of, this is the way it is, and anything that deviates from you see in front of you, the kind of nice world you see in front of you, is an atrocity. And I think this has been fed to us by a left-wing media that is just infected with multicultural nonsense. And with kind of a, I don't know what to call it, white guilt maybe, you know, that has kind of, you know, given it this sort of countercultural slant to the news that simply does not reflect the truth, the moral truth of the world.
Yeah, no kidding. What do you think happens? You mentioned this. You think that Assange basically gets a slap from the good old U.S. and you think WikiLeaks just continues to thrive and pump out these conspiracy deals and gets people whipped up into a frenzy, and he just rides on into the sunset with more success?
I think that, the reason I think that that is largely the case is because WikiLeaks is not really a phenomenon in itself. It's more the symptom of a larger phenomenon, which is that information has just become harder and harder to protect and contain. All of us have kind of lost a lot of our privacy, and I don't see how that's not going to extend to the government without, like, shutting down the things that make us more free and the services and information flow that we get from the Internet. You know, there's no way to really stop that. So things like this are just going to happen again and again. I mean, basically, it's going to be this cat and mouse game with the government improving, I hope, its security over the things that it needs to keep secret. With people like this eventually breaking the codes and these moments of exposure. What I think our government ought to think about is making fewer things secret, but making them secret better. You know, I don't think every diplomatic cable has to be a deep, dark secret, but rather I think that those things that need to be secret, like our negotiations with our delicate negotiations with countries to keep our security good, those secrets really have to be protected. And the reason is when we go in to an Arab, a Muslim country, and they agree to help us fight the Iranians because the Iranians are nuts and developing nuclear weapons, which is not a good combination. We need to keep that secret because we're endangering the lives of the people who are helping us over there. But not every diplomatic meeting has to be a secret.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Hey, so tell us now, every time I talk to you, something new's been optioned that you've written. You have the Midas touch. I'm just waiting. Identity Man, that's the next thing. How's things going with Identity Man? Because that's still pretty fresh. It's still pretty new.
It's fresh and new. It's gotten great reviews. I am very doubtful this book will ever be made into a movie because it's so politically incorrect. it takes place in a city that's been gutted by racial politics. It's a thriller, but it looks at racial politics in a way I don't think you've seen in quite a while, in a way that people just don't say anymore and talk about the way that racial politics is by people and the way that news media misrepresents it. That's all part of this thriller story in The Identity Man. And so I'll be surprised. It could happen. Stranger things have happened. It could happen that it becomes a film. But if it does, I'm very doubtful that it would reach the screen in the shape that it is as a novel. You know, I think if you sit down and read this novel, your hair will stand on end and you'll say, wow, I haven't heard that before. I doubt that's going to make it to the screen.
I love that. Andrew, thanks. We appreciate it as always. We know you're a busy cat and we appreciate the time. It's always fun to kick it around with you. And I wish you the best. Have a happy holiday season.
Thanks, Kate. You too. It's great talking to you.
All right, you too. Thank you. And, you know, seriously, if you have never read one of Clavin's books, they're not paying me to say this, I'm just telling you this, you will not be able to put it down. And he has had some of his novels that have gone to film. Clint Eastwood's True Crime. Also, remember Michael Douglas was in Don't Say a Word. That was another big one. And currently, Twilight, The Hurt Locker, remember those two big movies? From Summit Entertainment, they're creating some film adaptations of his Homelander series, which is, I think, terrific work, too. He's just a master at the prose, let's put it that way. All right, hang with us. Coming up next is all about the numbers, baby. We can count.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait.
There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. Libertystickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
It's the winter cold and flu supplement sale at HerbalHealer.com. Take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on the best cold and flu supplements available. Many of you know elderberry is exceptional against viral infections. Right now, Herbal Healer Academy has elderberry power, regularly priced at $16.95, now incredibly low at only $10 for 60 vegetarian caps. For children and seniors, our Herbal Healer Academy Flu Away Elderberry Liquid is only $13 for a 4-ounce bottle. Also on super sale, olive leaf capsules, oregano oil plus capsules, and our incredible respirate formula, oregacillin physician strength capsules for your lungs. Normally $34.95, now just $25. Hit the winter specials link at HerbalHealer.com for these cold and flu supplement specials and other on sale products like apple cider vinegar, brain power, and neuro recovery. New customers get a free catalog with your first order. Log on and hit the winter special now at HerbalHealer.com.
One of my favorite segments that we started doing, I don't know, 6 months ago or whatever. Probably one of our biggest highs of 2010, my favorite features. What do you say, America? Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's all about the numbers. It's all about the numbers. All right, stocks. Where are we stock-wise? And why do you care? You care because if you have a 401k, you want to pay attention to what's going on with the stocks because you probably have a basket of them. Right? Stocks are ending at the highest levels in more than 2 years. That's what happened on the day. If you're keeping score, the Dow was up 55 points. There's some big gains in some other areas, financial areas. JP Morgan Chase was up. Bank of America was up. So the blue chip index finished at its highest level since really the end of August of 2008. It was well up over 11 something. So the S&P, I say something because 11 and change, the S&P 500 picked up 8 points. So again, you're going back to 2008 numbers. Yet I say this about stocks, and then how about this? 1 in 7 Americans, I saw this today, 1 in 7 Americans rely on food stamps. Yep, food stamp use increased by 16% this year, and that's fueled by a 10 billion annual increase, billion-dollar annual increase in what? Stimulus funding. 1 in 7. Does that seem like a high number to anyone else? Anybody listening to me think that's a high number? I think it's a pretty high number. And why are we seeing these bigger numbers? Well, hello, look at the economy. We keep hearing that, oh, no, there's been a bounce back. But I think states like Mississippi, where we visited a couple of, well, I guess a month ago, New Mexico, Oregon, Tennessee, 1 in 5 people are getting food stamps. But how about this? Washington, D.C., would you be stunned to know that they've got 21.5% of the population on food stamps? 21.5? Well, that's the high unemployment rate, of course. And then people participate in the food stamps. So the nation's unemployment number is 9.8%, and that's driving the food stamp use. And honestly, I mean, we say 9.8, but let's twist the numbers a little bit. I really think that number is higher. We know it's higher in Nevada. I think in parts of California it's higher. And do we actually see it hit the double digits? We kept hearing that, okay, those numbers are going to go down. But then I have the question, the million-dollar question, when are those numbers going to go down? It certainly doesn't seem that way, does it? All right, let's jump to something else numbers-wise. How about this? Something fun. University of Connecticut women's team, their B-ball team, Gene Auriemma, you ever hear of him? He's been the coach for a long, 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 long time of these ladies. They set a new college record for consecutive basketball wins. How many? 89th straight win. Wow, 89th straight win. That's pretty incredible, you have to say. Hey, Matt, you're a sports fan. You do have to tip your cap to the ladies, the Huskies. That's pretty special, 89. Imagine if he gets to, I say he because I'm going to give some credit to the coach. Imagine if they get to 100.
Yeah, I think it's special, but at the same time, it's completely different. I would say it's a different record than the UCLA
record. Definitely.
And a lot of people are trying to compare the two, and I don't understand. It's apples and oranges. I know it's the same sport, but it's different. It's just like a D2 men's basketball record wouldn't be the same thing as a D1 men's basketball record. And it's two different sports. I think it's a huge accomplishment, but I don't think it's the same thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a huge accomplishment, and I think we should tip our cap to them. But it is different if we want to compare the two, because it was the UCLA record that was broken, but yet, there's no question it's apples and oranges to me. Across the board, apples and oranges, when you think of what the Bruins accomplished, a little bit different than the women. How about that? All right, here's another interesting week in count. So if you're keeping score on this one, we go from food stamps to the Connecticut basketball team, then to this story about the FCC approving net neutrality rules. And you know that this really sticks in my craw because the wild, wild west, baby. You don't want too much red tape when it comes to the internet, right? I mean, I'd like to strangle the hackers, or I can't tell you how many viruses, malware, all that nonsense that we've had to untangle. Me, personally, we've had to untangle ourselves from this year. But that has nothing to do with the whole net neutrality thing. So a 3-2 vote, the FCC approves what they're calling high-level rules of the road that will ensure that Internet providers give everyone equal access to the web. But the vote, really, if you want to talk about Internet freedom, really the new rules don't go far enough. And do we really want the government in the business of online? Do we really want them in the internet? I'm going to say no. No, go away. Don't get involved. Are you kidding? The FCC chairman, Julius Jankowski, said they're going to require high-speed internet providers to treat all types of web content equally. So the FCC, their claim is the rules will, in effect, keep companies that own the infrastructure, they'll keep the real-world infrastructure from slowing down some types of websites or, let's say, apps, for example. The app deal was one that was talked about a lot, say the ones that belong to a competitor or speeding up others for high-paying clients. You pay more, you're going to get more speed. And I just, to me, I think it's not a good deal to have the FCC in the middle of this. Think of just the average person using the internet. So this vote affects pretty much, when you look at the government, whether they'll guarantee that they'll continue to have access to all web content regardless of what the internet provider's wishes are. Okay, so you could be sold that and maybe think that that sounds good to you, right? Or whether you're going to get that content as quickly as maybe some businesses that flash the cash or others who could pay more for it. But pay attention to what happens here with this 3-2 vote and watch this as the first step, maybe, in a very bad direction. The people who think it's the first step in the right direction say that it's not as, they didn't go far enough, that the rules don't really absolutely prevent broadband providers from pay for priority, so giving faster service, in other words, to people who can pay for it or favoring one business over another. So why do we have the rule? So basically, looks good, seems like a good idea on paper, but not in reality, in execution, not a great idea, because it's not really going to help you. So in the end, people who pay more, businesses who flash the cash, well, I mean, they're on a collision course. They're going to get, they are going to get the better access, even if they say they're not, that the, that it's not going to happen. I don't buy that. I mean, it's, you know, what's going to happen is this is going to get challenged in court and it's going to get thrown out. It might take a few appeals and, you know, it might be a little bit down the road, but this is the government interfering with business practices. Get the other crap right. Don't get involved in the internet. It's the Wild Wild West. Just leave it alone. So net neutrality, a step in the wrong direction, particularly if you own some kind of a business and you thrive and survive on the internet, look out, duck and run for cover. You can send me your thoughts on the show at americantonight.net.